Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Starseed Radio Academy, empowering Starseed to better serve the planet.
Welcome to Starseed Radio Academy. It's Tuesday, March 18th, 2014, and I'm your host, Arielle Taylor, with my co-hosts, Lavendar and Anastasia. Our next crystal quest to Arkansas starts on Pleiadian lineup in May, and we're now accepting standby reservations in case a spot does open up. So if you have the required star markings on your charts and want to learn more about it, let us know quickly. Those markings are 25, 26, 27 degrees in Aquarius, Leo, Cancer, Capricorn, Taurus, and Scorpio. And just send an email to crystals@starseedhotline.com for more information. Well, this week we begin our fifth year on the air, bringing you the chronicles of Lavendar's journey through direct contact and assignments with the Pleiadians, which are always available in our radio archives, as well as present the work of outstanding starseeds and lightworkers. Tonight it's our pleasure to have Suzanne Streisauer with us, a multi-talented life purpose expert and coach, as well as award-winning author and screenwriter. Suzanne recently appeared on National Geographic and has launched her own television show called Transforming the Times. She'll be telling us more about that this evening. And all three of her website links are on our show page this week, including awakentoyourlifepurpose.com. At the top of the show, it's the Starseed News segment with Anastasia, bringing topics of interest to Starseed and sharing some emails from our listeners. And we'd like to welcome Vanya, Claudia, and Fiona as our switchboard hosts this evening. And happy birthday, Claudia. They were with us on the first Crystal Quest and, inspired by that experience, have launched a new website, Athena96Goddesses.com. So check it out. You're welcome to call in with comments or questions, and the number to dial is 917-889-8292. And remember to press 1 on your keypad so we know you want to come on the air. And when you visit our show page, remember to click follow. Check out the Vault of Knowledge on our main site, which is starseedhotline.com. And we also have a wonderful online community of starseeds at starseedhotline.ning.com. And we thank Tammy for her help and dedication to the forum. Our toll-free number is 888-881-0881. The Stage 1 Starseed confirmations are based on Lavendar's discovery of star markings and your natal astrological chart. And the Stage 2 session is a one-on-one phone session available with Lavendar, Anastasia, or myself. Remote healing sessions for people and pets are also available with Tammy. And if you have a birthday coming up, you can find out how to make the most of your 10 hours of power by requesting your solar return timing. And now I would like to introduce my co-hosts, Lavendar and Anastasia. Good evening, ladies.
Well, Lavendar here, and I'm really anxious to hear the news from you, Anastasia. So take it away.
All right. It's great to be with you tonight. It's always good to get back on the show. And I want to tell you, the sun is quiet today. They say that despite a relatively high sunspot number, its solar activity is really low right now. None of the half a dozen sunspot groups on the solar disk is actively flaring, and NOAA forecasters are estimating a 35% chance of M-class flares today and a 5% chance of X flares, so not much happening. And Mars is approaching the Earth. Earth and Mars are converging for a close encounter in April this year. They say that on April 14th, Mars and Earth will get into opposition with one another. Burnt orange Mars will rise in the east at sunset and soar almost overhead at midnight, shining 8 times brighter than a first magnitude star. So mark your calendars for April 14th, everybody. That should be really beautiful. They say it will be burnt orange. So I'm looking forward to that, especially now since I have a camera with a really nice zoom lens. So I'm going to check that out. And those of you with telescopes will have to be sure to look at it. Well, there has been a lot of booms in the sky over the last week. This has been an ongoing thing for the last maybe 8 months that I've been keeping track of it. In Calgary, Canada, mysterious boom shook homes, and there was a lot of speculation and confusion after this boom could be heard through parts of northwest Calgary just this last week. They say it was really startling to people. They'd never heard anything like it before. And even though experts are claiming that these booms in the cold parts of the continent are being called by frost quakes, people are saying they've never heard them before. Now, people who have been residents of those colder climates have been there a long time, and what they're reporting is doesn't really sound like frost quakes. So we need to ask ourselves if maybe these booms could be due to overhead meteor explosions, as there are so many fireballs occurring across the planet. As a matter of fact, in northern England and southern Scotland, just a couple of days ago, a massive fireball lit up the sky in the morning. Reports of it said that it was a large green body with a white tail, very bright. It was moving very fast. And as a matter of fact, because of that same sighting in that part of the world, emergency services were called. People were alarmed because there were so many people seeing fireballs that they thought had crashed to the ground. And on that same day, or thereafter, I guess maybe a day later, a flock of dead starlings had fallen out of the sky in England after that loud bang had been heard. They say that between 20 and 30 dead starlings appeared on a road in England on Sunday afternoon. Now, eyewitnesses did report hearing that loud bang before finding the birds in an X-Files-like experience, they said, as if they had fallen out of the sky. Now, experts are claiming to be baffled, but, you know, this could be from a blast from which the birds could have been killed by blunt force trauma. We have to ask if this is a coincidence, because all of these things are happening in succession. Second large meteorite was found during a massive, or after a massive fireball flew over Korea a few days back. It's big news in North Korea because the discovery of a possible meteorite is making the headline loop in Korean newspapers as sensationalists are comparing the space rock to a jackpot worth millions of dollars. You know, those are worth a lot of money. And scientists have been saying that the rock that was found a day earlier, it was about 186 miles south of Seoul, is likely to be a meteorite. They say it weighed in at 20 pounds and its surface was burned. They say that it is connected probably to that report of a massive fireball sighting the previous day in which a fireball crashed into the roof of a greenhouse. So there is a lot of activity. Again, I'm just reporting to you what's going on out there. All very interesting, though, all over the world. And I want to talk about sinkholes a little bit tonight because, holy cow, we're getting a lot of sinkholes in this country. And we don't know if that's from deteriorating infrastructure, which could be likely since things are not maintained as they should be, or is it from something else? But in Ohio, a school bus slid into a sinkhole. Officials say that no children were hurt when a loaded school bus slid partially into a sinkhole on a city street in northeast Ohio, nearly flipping the bus over. They say that the pavement collapsed as the bus passed on it on Monday afternoon, and it caused the rear wheels to fall into the hole. And the angle of the bus caused problems for rescue workers trying to get the 30 children out of the bus, but they say the kids were scared but not hurt. And a second sinkhole, now I say second sinkhole, appeared in Bloomington, Illinois just a few days ago. And they say for the second time in as many days, the town of Bloomington was called about a vehicle stuck in a sinkhole, which comes a day after a sinkhole on Monday forced the closure of another street in that town. A car wheel had sunk through the pavement, unveiling an underground hole several feet deep. And it is being under repair. It was under repair when they got the second sinkhole that they're now beginning to repair. There's also a reporting of a large sinkhole that's growing in Detroit. They say that it's about 20 feet wide in Detroit, and people are becoming concerned about the safety of the street. So residents have called the city about it. They say it's not getting fixed, and the problem continues to worsen. And in Toledo, Ohio, a sinkhole has closed an intersection in central Toledo. And they say that the hole is too deep to be repaired by city crews. So they had to get a contractor to come in and fix it. And a fire engine got stuck in an 8-foot sinkhole in Indianapolis. Yep, it did. It was on its way to a fire to put out a fire on Monday night, yesterday night. And according to a tweet from the fire department, the engine was on its way, and they got stuck in a sinkhole that's 4 foot by 8 foot deep, and nobody was hurt. In East Harlem, where they had that gas explosion last week, they say a sinkhole has opened up in front of those buildings, and that is reportedly slowing the search for victims. They say that the sinkhole probably developed because of a water main break from the explosion, but nobody really knows. And in Boston, there has been a 30-foot sinkhole reported behind a federal courthouse. They say that this is coming from several news outlets, by the way. This federal courthouse on Northern Avenue in South Boston has got an enormous sinkhole. They showed photos of it on the Internet, and the whole back brick, like patio area, is crumbling. And so they're fencing that off and trying to repair the damage. And this is just a few of the stories of sinkholes that have been ongoing across the country in the last number of months. Well, in New York State, sadly, the Western New York region is reporting that there has been a devastating ecological disaster with the death of ducks. They say that the harsh and seemingly endless winter has been the root cause of death for thousands of ducks from Rochester to the Niagara River. Experts are saying that this has never been documented in the past. As cold as people believe the winter has been, they say the proof is that it has been very cold because it's verified by the fact that the abundant wildlife population just couldn't survive the kind of winter that we've had. That's pretty sad. And on the earthquake plane, we have a report about a 6.2 earthquake in Peru. The USGS said that a strong earthquake with a magnitude of 6.2 struck Peru. And there was no tsunami warning, and there was nobody harmed by that. But they said that this is a result of the thrust faulting at the boundary between the South American plate and the subducting Nazca plate. But that's not all. There were also earthquakes in Chile, 6.2 in Chile on the 17th of March, and on the 16th of March, another 7.0 magnitude earthquake off the coast of northern Chile. So that area has been very active. There was also, this past week, a 6.3 magnitude quake off the coast of Japan. So we've had a lot of earthquake activity, along with a small one that occurred in Los Angeles just a couple of days ago. I think that one was 4.4. Well, there's a wonderful story off the Internet tonight. It comes from Live Science, and that is about making crystals ripple with light. Researchers have discovered that a beam of light can make waves in crystals, and those waves can be tuned. And this might open up, they say, they might open up to new technological possibilities. Now, this research is occurring at the University of California, where the researchers fired a beam of infrared light at a tiny crystal of boron nitride. Now, they focused this beam on the tip of an atomic force microscope. Well, what's that? An atomic force microscope probes surfaces at the scale of atoms and molecules with a needle at the end of its arm. Kind of looks like that little needle on a vinyl record player. Well, the microscope then transfers the momentum from the light to the crystal. The light-generated ripples or waves made ripples or waves in the boron nitride. And the waves, called phonon polaritons, bear with me, folks. My tongue's getting in a knot here. It had wavelengths as short as those of ultraviolet light, which is about 300 to 400 nanometers or a billionth of a meter. That's real short.
Yeah.
A wave on the surface of water, the scientists say, is the closest analogy. You throw a stone and you launch concentric waves that move outward. We've all done that. We like to throw rocks in ponds, and they say that this is a similar effect. They say the atoms are moving, and it's triggering an event of illumination with light. So they really are doing some marvelous things with crystals, and, of course, this is sort of our expertise in our area, and I had to pass that along tonight because I thought that was a significant story.
Wow.
And I want to give thanks to Barbara, who's one of our listeners. Thank you, Barbara. And she sent this link to me, which is a story from the New York Times, which I don't find to be quite so empowering or inspiring, I should say, but I think everybody should know about it. Researchers at MIT are giving plants superpowers. How are they doing this? They're placing tiny carbon nanotubes deep within plant cells. Wow. Nanotechnology being put into living biology. While some of the altered plants that they're messing around with increase their photosynthetic activity by 30% compared with just regular, old, ordinary, everyday garden variety plants, you know, the kind that God made or the universe made. Okay, so the scientists have modified these plants, and with these other plants that they modified, I guess depending on what plant they use, some altered in one way and some altered another, and they said that some of these plants were also able to detect tiny traces of pollutants in the air. So they are designing these plants with a specific purpose in mind, because they say that's just the beginning. They want to impart plants with functions that are non-native to them, said one of these professors of chemical engineering at MIT. The lab has been working on the nexus of plant biology and nanotechnology, an area which they call plant nanobionics, for over 3 years, and they've been trying to figure out how to give plants new abilities. I don't know, you guys, this makes me think of Frankenstein, but whatever.
Yeah, I'm kind of crawling here.
Now check this out, because it goes on to say that their first challenge was putting the nanotubes into the plants. Well, you know, why would that be a challenge except beyond the obvious thing that this is so tiny and it's really amazing technology? But there's a natural reason why they had difficulty. You see, when you water plants with a solution that has nanoparticles in it, it doesn't work, because plant roots have a structure that blocks nanotubes from entering. Oh, my, it doesn't want them.
Yeah.
So the research team kept working on it, and they started injecting this into the stomata of the plant. This is small pores on the underside of the leaves that allow carbon dioxide in and oxygen and water out. Well, the researchers found that if they forced a solution that included nanoparticles in a syringe, it would enter the plant through the stomata. And they say that it's surprising that it worked, because the leaf is designed to be a very selective membrane. In other words, Mr. Scientist, nature is saying it doesn't want you to do that. But the scientists say that usually water evaporates out of the leaf through the stomata, but in this case, we're making it go the other way. Well, after the delivery system worked, researchers added nanotubes that can absorb more wavelengths of light than plants usually absorb. So what they're doing is they're working on showing how nanobionics can create plants that can sense multiple chemicals and even multiple objects. And they published this research in the journal called Nature Materials. I would imagine, I haven't checked on that magazine, but I imagine that is a lot about nanotech. There are a lot of journals about nanotech. There's a lot being done with it right now. And so to lighten the mood, I had to think to myself, well, you know, it would be kind of funny if with our tremendous spy mechanism that we have in this country and all of the sort of surveillance that's going on, they could learn to put little eyeballs into plants and they could watch everything that way, you know. I mean, a head of cabbage could spy on you, goodness sakes. There's all kinds of things that they can do. That doesn't mean they should be doing it, but they are. So anyway, thank you so much, Barbara, for that article. I think that's very interesting, and I really appreciate it. I want to thank all of you Starseed listeners that are so wonderful about sending me wonderful links to articles. And I've been meaning to tell you for a couple of weeks now. I keep forgetting. So tonight I want to remind you that if you have a story for me, unless it's something that you just come across on a Tuesday, could you try to send it to me a little earlier than Tuesday afternoon? I get the best stories. And, you know, I'm busy on Tuesdays, and sometimes I don't get to my email right away. And so I get these great stories, and it's just too late to incorporate it into the news. Of course, if it's, you know, something I need to see, by all means, send it. But if I skip it because I haven't had time to get to it, please don't allow your feelings to be hurt. I just appreciate all that you do. And you know, we're getting quite a good group of Starseed reporters with boots on the ground.
That's great.
So it's a lot of fun, and I want to thank all of them. And I encourage more and more stories, and things that you pull out of your local news is appreciated. Just keep us all informed. And I really need your help, and I'm really grateful that you give it. So that's it for tonight's news. I'm looking forward to the show, Ariel Lavendar.
Well, I have something I want to say about this little report about the plants. It just occurred to me that, you know, Colorado has legalized marijuana, and I'm going, oh, my God, you think they're going to set that whole system up over there? Oh, wow.
Oh, wow. You know, your mind can go crazy, but the fact is that really so many of these people are just not to be trusted. I'm sorry. And I think all of us can pretty much kind of concede that. And what are they going to do? And just because they can do it doesn't mean they should. And it's just, there is so much technology out there, my friends, that we don't even know about. By the time we hear about it, it's usually pretty old. But like I've always said, yesterday's science fiction is becoming today's science fact. And the real key issue for humanity as we evolve with our consciousness is to make sure, in whatever way that we can, that newfound powers are not misapplied and that our ethics can keep up with our technology. Big challenge, enormous challenge.
Well, you know, in Atlantis, when they crossed, you know, the plants and animals together and created the things, that was one of the, you know, big disasters for Atlantis, and it sounds like it's coming this way again to be tested.
Absolutely. And Lavendar, can you remember when we were kids, things like that, stories about, you know, the hybridization and stuff in Atlantis, to my parents and to the older generation just seemed fantastic. Nobody could have believed it. It sounded like a fantasy, sort of a Jules Verne story. And now as we move fast forward into so many decades, which we're not going to tell people, we don't need to have them figure that out, do we? But, you know, in the last 60 years, all of this has become not just possible, I mean probable, but they're doing it. And, wow, who could have believed it?
Yeah. And there's more to come. And there's more to come.
There's a lot more to come.
Yeah.
So we just need to put on our shields and our light helmets and get to work and do what we were born to do, make a difference.
Right.
I'm going to turn it back over to you, gals.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, thank you. And just before we bring Suzanne on, it's Claudia's birthday, and I just have to do this. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Claudia. Happy birthday to you. Okay.
Oh, that was
happy
so
birthday,
beautiful.
Claudia.
Happy birthday, Claudia.
Yeah. So we have Suzanne on the switchboard. So let me get your mic open here. Hi, Suzanne. Welcome to the show.
Well, thanks for having me. What a great starseed report. I love that.
Oh, it's really good to hear news that you can't hear on the mainstream and put the pieces together. So thanks to Anastasia for that.
Yeah, that was amazing.
Well, Lavendar?
I'm here. Before we bring Suzanne on, there is one thing I'd like. It just occurred to me about crystals. I saw a special during the Olympics, and there was a vodka distillery that made their vodka and had a whole vat of crystals that they ran their vodka over to make it the supreme vodka of Russia. I don't know. I just needed to say that.
What do they think of next?
Okay, Suzanne. I love you so much. I met you a couple of years ago in Hot Springs, Arkansas, and we've been connected ever since. And I'm so pleased that you chose to be on our show tonight. And I'm so excited about this new venture that you're on with a new television program. But first, I want you to tell us a little bit about your experiences with the angelic realms and the things that you've come to know about being on your spiritual galactic path.
Well, that's a tall order, Lavendar, and the funny thing is that's even ramped up in this last week, and as I was listening to your Starseed report, I was like laughing. I could contribute some things to this story. So one of them was that in the last couple weeks, I'm not sure whether the angels have taken me somewhere or they have showed me what the new Earth is going to look like, and it seems a man who's a guide who's there in this other dimension where the ground is orange and purples and radiates light. And then there's clusters. Talk about crystals. There's these spheres that come together in clumps, and then they make these like cluster kind of things. And all of a sudden I realized, this isn't of the earth. Where is this? And then I heard, heaven is coming to earth. And then yesterday when I was driving a friend of mine down to the airport, the little mountain range that we have, the smallest mountain range in the world, was not the mountain range that I normally see. It was like overlaid, and there was like three sets of ridges behind itself. And I had a woman with me who'd lived in the area, and I said, that's not our mountain range. She said, no, it isn't. And so I'm watching things happen almost as if they're preparing us or they're taking us elsewhere to show us what we're going to be bringing in. I don't really know, but it's fascinating, and certainly my whole life I've had, you know, stories of one sort or another where I've been guided in one way by Great Spirit, Archangel Uriel, and, you know, countless hosts of angels in this lifetime, Lavendar.
Well, what's your first full memory when you were a child? Did you have things happen when you were younger that you've been able to hold the memory all these years?
I have. The youngest memory that I remember is being literally a ball of golden light and having absolute connection with everything, complete telepathic communication with animals and plants and the mineral kingdom, and really having, you know, being able to have the golden light as something that I just radiated, that was just part of me. And, you know, that didn't actually dissipate too much until I, you know, became, you know, a teenager, preteen teenager. And it's all starting to come back now, which is really interesting. And in the same way that it was way back when, it's starting to come back now.
Well, I think the times have come where everything is elevated in our starseed systems and the awakening. And I think the very fact that you've taken your intent, alignment, and commitment to do the work that you're doing, the more that you open up to that, the more comes to you and more responsibility that you have to carry, don't you think?
I think so, but I'm not so happy doing it under Saturn, Lavendar. It's trouble. It's hard.
You know, but Saturn can be your friend, believe it or not. Saturn can establish and lock you down with your commitment stronger than any other planet.
Well,
so, you know, let Saturn be
happening.
Your friend. Just say, I know it's here, it's testing me, it's running me through the mill, but when it's over, then you'll be solid. You'll be solid.
Well, and the good news, and I love how you just said that, is that the good news is it is returning me to the light. Anything else that's not that needs to go and really go in a big way, in a quick way. So that's good
news.
You've always
had the light. It's not about returning it. It's, I think you're getting boosted. I think you're boosting. I think you're, the Geiger counter on you is going way up. I think that's what's happening. Really.
That feels true.
Yeah. Yeah, I did your chart. I looked at your starseed markings, and girl, you're on it. You are. So, I'm so proud of you. Tell us a little bit about. Let's talk about your TV show, and then we'll go back and talk about some other things. But I'm real excited about this TV show. So, tell us about it, how it came to be, and what kind of shows that you'll have, and how will people get to view it.
Well, I had. I've been doing radio now for about 3 years, actually 4 years now, and I. Did my segment on National Geographic, and I wanted to have used television as a platform to show people who was on the Doomsday Prepper show that they could be prepared and not scared, and by listening to their guidance. If you just tuned in and you listened to your guidance, you didn't have to worry about what was going to happen because you would be guided, you would be led, and you would never wind up in trouble. You'd only wind up in trouble if you were ignorant and didn't listen. So I actually did some live channeling on that segment for National Geographic. And the earth, and I wasn't sure what was going to happen. They just said, well, see what you pick up. And all of a sudden, there was like this steel plate in the earth that all of a sudden started radiating energy and showing me how things were going to shift. So I actually, when I was doing that taping with them, I wound up doing some live channeling just right there and there. You know, everything is completely uncensored, unfiltered. And that didn't make it. It was a little bit too racy for National Geographic yet. But out of that, I realized I'm ready to do television. I'm ready to tell a bigger story, to have resources for people that they can plug into, that make a difference, that can help them transform, that can help them evolve, you know, and a lot of the stuff that you're talking about on Starseed Hotline. And so I just quipped to a friend of mine in November of last year, so really recent, and I said, I'm ready for television. And he said, well, you need to meet this man who happened to be a television producer, and we spoke. Long story short, Transforming the Times was born, and it had its premiere on March 10th. So a week ago, yesterday, it had its premiere. And so for your listeners who want to see it, they can go to streamingforthesoul.tv. And that's streamingforthesoul.tv. And you can register for the show, just log in, sign up. There's all kinds of other spiritual things happening there. And I really feel like Streaming for the Soul is going to be a library of light. They're bringing in the library of light in the digital age. And my show is one where I'm talking about sustainability and spirituality, inspirational musicians, authors, entertainers, and also conscious causes, like how can we get involved? How can we make a difference? How can we connect? And so giving people all sorts of different ways that they can connect. And I also have a really interesting astrologer who is doing at what I call the weekly cosmic weather report. And so he has a chart of the what's happening in the heavens every week, and he shows that. And it's literally like a mainstream weather report, only he's looking at an astrology chart and telling us what's going on.
Oh, I love that. Oh,
it's
I love
totally
that.
Fun.
That is really, that's really great. So so you have a lot of people booked and ready to come on your show?
I do, and I'm hoping that Ariel's going to join me at some point to do that as well, because I definitely want the starseed, and I'd love to have that aligned when you're going to do your starseed gathering, because I pre-record my shows. And I want people to know about this. I want people to not be afraid. I want people to say, oh, my God, I might be a starseed. Oh, that explains why I'm act this way. Or, you know, I have another man, and he's very connected with all the, you know, enlightened children that are on the planet, and to do a segment on the enlightened children. And then sometimes I'm doing it on causes, you know, a woman who's involved with the World Peace Flame and Pachamama Alliance and all these different things. So it really kind of depends. You know, I'm looking forward to doing the Galactic Astrology segment and starseeds with you guys, because I just feel people need to know all that and to have it have, you know, visibility in the world. And so, you know, that's really kind of my next step, is to bring all that together where people can find it.
Good, good. We'd be glad to participate. I know that Ariel, she looks good on camera. Of course, I don't go on camera, and so that's the reason I'm not doing it, but I hope that she'll be able to be a guest for you. So my next question for you is, let's talk about life's purpose and how you got directed into this life purpose DNA, and tell us a little bit about your system.
So I have been a coach for years and been a psychic and intuitive for like 35 years, but a coach in the last 7 or 8 years. And what I really wanted, what people came to me about, was that they were lost, they were in transition, they needed kind of some way through, and they were more mainstream people, not necessarily about an astrology chart, although certainly, you know, that would have helped, you know, a hand analysis, something. So what I did was I started asking, so what is life purpose really? What does that mean? And, you know, I'd known my purpose for 30 years and saw it in a hypnotherapy session, but how could I give mainstream people a way to access their own purpose? And so I started doing some research, and of course I was guided, and I realized that our life purpose has 7 universal life purpose elements, and everybody has it. And I wasn't interested in anything that had, you know, that didn't apply to everybody. And so I started just asking, well, what would that look like? What is life purpose? And it turns out the 7 elements are natal. We were all born at a certain time, certain place, a certain name, certain meaning to our names. We all have some developmental purpose, which is what stage of life we're in, which means that we want to do and act in certain ways different. We're hardwired to accomplish certain things different or be certain ways different. Psychological purpose, which is our own preferences and what we, you know, how we've figured out to get around in the world in the ways that make the most sense. And then there's a professional, which is the one that everybody knows about, which is your skills, gifts, and talents. But then there's the spiritual perspective and purpose, which is your inner gifts, I mean, your higher calling, inner purpose, in divine guidance, your intuition, your dreams, and what they tell you. And then the mystical is your vibrational being. What is it that your vibrational being, your 5D self, your multidimensional galactic self wants to do? And then finally is transitional purposes. So every time, you know, we are in some major, you know, change, trauma, crisis, whatever, It's an opportunity to reassess, who am I today? Who am I moving forward into becoming? And so those seven universal life purpose elements, everybody has, but each person has their own what I call life purpose DNA, which is how they uniquely express those seven elements, and that creates kind of a blueprint for their own lives.
You know, I call that natural state. That's what I call natural state. Natural state, rites of passage, is what you call life purpose DNA. Yeah, it's, we talk about the same things, I think.
Well, that's fascinating. And then, you know, the other thing is that I wanted a simple definition for people for what life purpose is, because, you know, there's 500 million people searching for life purpose every month on Google. It's just, like, you know, I can't imagine that big of a number. But, you know, it's like, oh, my God, really? And then 150,000 different resources you can find on Amazon. And so I wanted something simple for people. And literally what life purpose means is the aim or intention of the energy you put forth. So it's, what is your intention? And so where is your chi? Where is your energy wanting to go? And so sometimes I'll just tell people, I says, stand still. And then ask your feet to take you somewhere. And then notice where you're going. And so it's the aim or intention of the energy you put forth through all those things, which is, like you say, Lavendar is a natural state for people if they're kind of tuned into themselves.
Yeah. It's tuning in and being able to stand up and say, you know, here's my strengths, here's my weaknesses, let's pull up our sleeves and work on this. Yeah.
Right. Right.
Yeah. So I understand that you've channeled a Ruin Oracle. Tell us about that. How does that work?
That came through in 1999, and I wanted to do a Right Livelihood project with my land. And I have this beautiful red wood on my property. It's manzanita and madrone for, you know, people back east. And so anyways, I wanted to do something with my land. And so a friend of mine just quipped to me one day. He said, make an oracle. He said, you're a psychic, make an oracle. And I was really resistant to that. But then one day I was sitting in a bar and I was waiting for some friends of mine to come, and I had a cocktail napkin. And all of a sudden I started seeing these symbols in my mind, and I knew that I needed to write them down. And so I just wrote them down as they came. And as they came, I'm like, wow, isn't this interesting? And then all of a sudden I realized, oh, my God, this is that oracle. And then it took me a while because, you know, having been a tarot reader for years, I want to make sure that the energy had integrity and that it was lined up and that it matched, and it did. And it's based on, there's 27 symbols, and they're based on earth, air, fire, and water, and then how each one of the elements is reflected in the different realms, great spirit and the elementals, divas, and, the divic realm, the angelics, and then our own human awareness. And so you can take, like, fire, and it'll be different in each one of the realms, and it has a different vibrational expression. And then there's three all-realms runes. And the other thing I thought, Lavendar, if we have time and you guys are up for it, is that I would do a little mini reading for Claudia since it was her birthday, if you guys want to do that. And so it's built on this grid of energy, and then you read them just like you do tarot cards or, you know, traditional runes. And the only thing that's different about these is that you can read them symbol side up or symbol side down. So if they're symbol side down, it means everything is in the subconscious. I mean, you can actually just use the wood itself to read from them, but you can also use them symbol side up, symbol side down, and so you know whether people are conscious about whatever the energy is that's going on or reflected in the rune. And then, you know, if it's in the subconscious, then people need to start getting clear and conscious about what's going on their, you know, inner planes and inner dimensions, and bring that into their conscious world. And then generally I'll do three runes for people, and then those runes are self, present, and future. And what they do is they tell a story, and they really help people kind of see what's going on. I don't ask people their questions. I just tell them what the story is, and they know exactly how it needs to be applied. And then that's kind of how they work.
So are they cards, or are they, how are they made?
Well, in the book, there are actually full-color rune cards, like tarot cards, that you just pull out. And then they are also handmade out of the manzanita and the oak from my land.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh,
and
wow.
Then in the old days, you know, I hand-painted them. I'm just getting ready to go and update the oracle and add a bunch more of the multidimensional beings into them and have them be part of the oracle as well. And so with people, if your listeners are interested, they can go to insightforrunes.com, and it's the runes of the four realms, and they can get free readings. You can just go online and you can get free readings. And, you know, there's been 150,000 done at this point online.
Really? So it's insightfulruins.com, right?
Right.
Ruins.com.
Yep.
Wow. I'm going to certainly take a look at that. So let me ask you, what advice do you have for people who are really feeling lost and they have a disconnect and they're just trying to get back to where they need to be?
Well, a lot depends for me on why they have the disconnect. So I'll start asking them questions, you know, like, so how do you feel disconnected? So the first way is I want them to sort of sort out how they're disconnected, because I always feel like exactly where we are is also the doorway through, and we just have to open up to whatever that doorway is for ourselves. And so I'll ask people, you know, how do you feel stuck? You know, what's happening right now? You know, where's the block? And then, you know, sometimes it'll be something energetic, like a lot of what's happening with these new energies, these new frequencies that are coming in, is they come into our bodies and they almost bombard us because most people aren't prepared for them yet. And so sometimes, you know, I'll say, okay, I just want you to sit in your body. I want you to breathe. I want you just to let the molecules move around. And sometimes they just need the space held for them. Sometimes I'll do a reading for people. Sometimes I'll work with their chakras. Sometimes it'll be hypnotherapy. It really could be a whole bunch of different things. But the place I start with people is I say, well, let's just talk about where it is that you're feeling stuck or disoriented or whatever, troubled, whatever it is in your life. So, I mean, that opens up the territory, and then they can also start to see their own way through as to what's going on.
Now, do you have some books for sale on your sites? Have you written some books?
I have on my website. You can go to yournextstepcoach.com, which is my storefront now. You can find my rune book, although I don't have that many copies of that left at this point. I have my life purpose workbook, and that's got the life purpose DNA and the five-step process that we talked about earlier. And then I also wrote a fun little tweet book on life purpose. So, you know, if people want to know what sign of the zodiac they were, I have, you know, tweets that talk about exactly what your purpose is for your sign. And then I also have a whole bunch of guided visualizations. Sometimes people want, you know, a guided visualization to help them with something. And so I've done a whole bunch of guided visualizations. And I also did a home study course for people to go and let me talk them through finding their life purpose, which the workbook can actually be done in an afternoon, and so can the online course that I set up for people.
So do you do private consultations also?
I do. And so what I do generally with people is the first session is, you know, an hour, and I get to know them and, I work with people both, you know, as a coach and also as a spiritual life coach. So part of it is, so I have a more multidimensional approach where I will, you know, like, you know, what's going on in your world, which is, you know, generally your 3D world. And then we kind of talk about what's happening in your intuition and your guidance. And then we look at your energetic patterns. And then sometimes I'll do psychic readings with people and, you know, just whatever it is that's supposed to come through will come through. And, you know, however I can be of service to people, that's kind of the goal.
Well, that's great. That's great. You know, I'm pretty excited about hearing you do a rune oracle for Claudia. So why don't we, Ariel, why don't we bring Claudia on? And let's do that now. That sounds like something we should be doing.
Okay. Just hang on a second. And Claudia, I've got your mic open. You're on the air with Suzanne, and here's your birthday present.
Thank you, Claudia.
I loved all your energy and, you know, just your vibe when you kind of welcomed me onto your show. So what I'm doing is I'm just, and this is what I do when I do my show on Your Life and Purpose Revealed, which is also on Blog Talk Radio, on the Living Well Talk Radio Network. What I do is I just feel into the person and I pick the runes for them. And so as I'm picking your runes, what's really nice is that your spirit is one that is very soft and playful. And I want to say sensual. Like you, you really love to touch things, be connected with things, and really feel the things that are in your world. And so the runes, just as I'm picking them for you, they actually start to tell me stuff about you. And then the runes that I'm going to pick for you are for, like, this coming year, so about kind of who you're going to be this year and what's going to be going on with you this year. So your first rune is symbol side down, and that is lightning. So lightning was actually the only rune that stayed from the old oracle, the old Viking runes. And what this is about transformation. And so this is inner transformation that's going to go on for you this year, that there's going to be a lot of movement inside. And you're going to feel like, what I tell people is, this is one of the runes of great spirit and the elementals. And so this is an opening up of your energy where you're going to actually see and feel like kinetic energy. You're going to be you're going to wind up sensing energy at a much deeper level, especially inside of yourself. And you're going to feel the field that generates and creates. And so what lightning's counsel is that as energy is generated, then it builds, and then you want to be a choice about how you want to dissipate or discharge it. Because otherwise what happens is it will suddenly strike like it does on Earth, and sometimes there can be big sparks that fly as a result of that. So this year for you personally, there's going to be a lot of inner working with your own personal energy and power and how you use that, how you feel energy, how you sense into things. So lots of opportunity for you. And to open it up, don't be afraid of it, and then also to bring it conscious.
Awesome.
Okay. And then your rune of the present is the rune I call Rainbows of Light. And this is one of my favorite rune in this oracle. It's a fire rune in the realm of the divas. And so imagine that you're plugged into a rainbow and that it's connected with your own pot of gold, that which you most love, that which your energy is most drawn to. And so this year, and what you're going to be sort of really feeling into for yourself, and this gets back to what I was saying as I was picking those runes for you, you're going to be feeling what is vibrationally aligned with you. You're ready to settle in to your own pot of gold. And you're ready to bring that radiance and light to both to yourself and also out into the world. So it's really, as you can see now, how lightning and getting that energy moving will only really further empower you with rainbows of light to actually take this energy and move it forward in the world. And then where you're going to wind up with at the end of the year, and this rune is symbol side down, which actually it should be because you're in a process of reclaiming the light, enlightening, and then manifesting its vibration. And then the final rune for you, the outcome of this year for you, is spiral outwards. And it's a co-creative rune in the realm of human awareness. And so what that tells me is that as you go through this process of yourself, of claiming your energy and your power, at the other end of this year, you're going to really be stepping out into the world for yourself. There is going to be something waiting for you to be done, and that you will step out into a new and bigger expanded role than you know for yourself right now today as we sit here.
Wow.
So this should be a great year for you, and just enjoy the ride. You know, let lightning really light you up, but remember that you're in charge, you're in control, and that you want to be able to move those energies around the way you want to, not at the effect of them.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
That was a good reading. So what do you think about us opening up the switchboard and having people call in and throw in a few runes for them? How do you feel about that?
I would love to do that, Lavendar.
Okay, Arielle, let's just open up the switchboard and see what happens.
Okay, well, you have to press 1 on your keypad so that we know you want to come on, and let Suzanne pick some runes for you. And let's see, we have one caller that's ready to come on. Let me get the mic open here. And it's spinning. Okay. Moon, you are on the air with Suzanne.
Hello, Suzanne.
Hi, Moon. Let me pick some runes for you. Okay, now unlike Claudia, your spirit is very ethereal, and it goes up into, you like to travel up into the heavens. Like you're looking for certain filaments of light. You kind of travel and look for and find those filaments of light, because it was like, as I was pulling your runes, it was like my fingers were like the tips of an anemone, you know, like the sea anemones, and the water rushes over them and through them. And so you have this really kind of fine-tuned sense of things, and that's how you feel energy. Now, interestingly enough, you had a couple of the same runes Claudia did, but in different positions. And so there's 27 runes, and often this happens when I do a show. It's like there's a certain vibration of the night, and the runes will show up. So for you, symbol side up, sense of self, is rainbows of light. And so what this means, which is perfect with what I just told you about the anemone, is that you are working with the filaments of light. And so what you're doing right now is, and you're a great attuned person for just feeling the light. So it's like you can pull in, draw in the light in ways that then you can have the light work and make things happen down here on Earth in really kind of cool ways. So what you want to do is to just kind of continue, carry on with that, because you're very aligned and centered there, and then let that energy flow. Now, in the present for you is lightning, and it's symbol side up. And so lightning for you is about taking that energy, and in this case, you're actually going to be charging that energy. So you're going to be giving this energy of rainbows of light a boost so that that energy can actually go, and you'll start being in a place of creation with this. Like one of the things that's happening with this new realm and frequencies of light that are coming in is like you can just plug in and you can literally watch things just light up. And so you have that capacity, you have that capability to have things light up. And so you want to go and not be afraid of lightning, but to just feel that building and know that that's actually building. It's creating a process for you and a channel and a doorway for you to manifest things of light. Does that make sense?
Oh, my goodness. That makes perfect sense. Oh, thank you so much.
Okay, hold on. We're not done yet. So your last rune of the future is symbol side down, because you're, again, in the process of having this all come to fruition, is actually the rune called the flowering. And this is also of the realm of the divas, but it is an earth rune. And so this earth rune is, imagine when you think about a seed, that the seed gets infused with light and that sparks its ability to grow, right? That's what makes it grow. And so out of this process of you taking the rainbows of light, infusing it with light, which is what lightning is doing, which is what the divas are helping you do, out of that is going to come the flowering. So you're going to actually bring in and use frequencies of light down here that will help things grow. So it almost feels like you're going to have some kind of really cool new technology that you're going to be working with and having things happen, and that you're going to be planting all kinds of seeds that bear big fruits for you. But that one is symbol side down, so you've got to get this sort of light program that you have happening worked out, and then you'll bring it into this conscious dimension, and then all sorts of things and magic will start to happen for you.
Ah, beautiful. And isn't it amazing that my sun sign is Taurus?
There you go.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Thank you so, so much.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Moon. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Well, you have the switchboard lighting up now, Suzanne. So let me just get to the next caller and get the microphone open. Okay, Pat, you're on the air.
Hello, Suzanne.
Hi, Pat.
How are you tonight? Thank you so much for being here.
I'm so happy to be with you guys, and this is really a treat, and I love Lavandar and just all the energy of the starseed, so it makes me really happy to be with all you guys. So your rune of self, so when I was picking the runes for you, you are, the word I want to use is forceful, and I don't mean that in a negative way, it just means you're very directed. And so your first rune of self was symbol side down, and it is the rune of initiation. And so this rune is a new beginnings for you, that you're going to move into some new beginnings that is still kind of in the subconscious, and it is going to be in the balance of masculine, feminine, right and left hemisphere. It's in this dimension. You are not doing a big starseed download. This is more about balancing energies for you. So you're going to take on a new role, a new way of being here in this dimension. And so you're actually trying that on inside of yourself right now to just feel how that works and kind of making that kind of tweak. And this is not a rune of any of the realms or elements. It includes all of them. So what you want to do is you want to really kind of be grounded. You want to listen with the air. You want to feel your emotions, and you want to also feel your energy, and also through all the different types and frequencies of energy, so that as you are kind of coalescing, letting all this happen and flow through you, that it's going to ground in this really beautiful way.
And that's exactly what my guidance is. Thank you.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. And so your rune of the present is the flowering. Now, it's symbol side up, but the stem is sideways. And the interesting thing about the way that it's sideways is the same way that initiation is on its side as well. And so what's going to happen is that as you get this left and right hemisphere and this masculine and feminine and, you know, get this balance put together, you're actually going to make things grow and make things happen out of that balance. And so what that means is that you may, like, take something from, you know, a vision, a spiritual thing that you had, but you're going to figure out how to ground it and how it can be really useful for people down here, and then some really kind of cool thing to come out of that. And then your rune of the future is, again, rainbows of light, but symbol side down. So your process, of course, you're not going to come to rainbows of light in its fruition yet, because it is something that you're still working on the initiation on the inside, so you won't have this vision on the outside either. But both the flowering and rainbows of light are both runes of the devic realm. So this is about you growing things, you plugging energy in this dimension, and you making things happen. And so what you're going to be doing is you're going to actually be making sure that the frequencies, the initiation piece for you is that the frequencies are calibrated right so that they flow right. There's the right harmony, that they grow things. If it doesn't grow things, if you can't see something to come out of that, then you're going to want to be doing something different. But let initiation guide you.
Yes, definitely. Thank you so much, because I've been feeling this and getting so much guidance like what you're telling me for I need to ground. I need to breathe into the earth.
Yep.
Put roots into the earth, because the energies are, sometimes I just feel totally whacked out. It's like I'm redrawing back energies from friends or relationships that don't seem to be working anymore.
Right.
I'm refunding them and then freeing myself up from the cords. I've been doing that for the past week, and it's kind of thrown me off because I never expected this to happen. But thank you so much, Sue.
You're welcome. So ask the divas to help you, because you had two runes from that realm. So they want to help you. So they want to help you move out old dead energy that can be composted again and bring in the new initiatory energies and the new light and the new growth. So hang out with the divas for a while.
Oh, I love it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Great. Thanks, Pat. Bye-bye.
Thank you. God bless. Bye.
Okay. Well, this is really fascinating. And next we have Lisa. Hi, Lisa. You're on the air.
Hi, Ariel and Suzanne and Lavendar and everybody there. You know, this when you talk about life purpose,
mm-hmm.
Suzanne, it seems like mine's always changing. Like I always have all these ideas and then nothing gets accomplished. It's like I'm a jack of all trades but master of none. And that gets me down sometimes.
I can understand that. Now, the interesting thing is that, you know, we've had several rainbows of light. And so Lavendar, what's really interesting is you can really see the star seeds here with all these runes, because there's lots of other runes, but they're all sort of vibrating in the fire and the devic and angelic realms. And so what's really interesting about your rune of self is its colors of light. So we just had rainbows of light, which was a fire rune of the divas. Now this is the angelic light, and it's rainbows of light, also of fire. And so what this is for you, and this is about who you are, is you're working with the filaments of light, the actual filaments of the different vibratory frequencies of light that the angelic realm have. And so when you say that you're, you know, jack of all trades, master of none, that's because you're tapped into a lot of different angels. And so, of course, you're going to have, and what's really funny, because what I didn't say before I started doing this reading for you is I was like, I could see all these angels jumping up and down, and they were all clapping and laughing, and I'm like, what in the world? And so, you know, and then you said what you did, and then I got distracted, and, but now as I'm doing this again, I'm like, oh, yeah, they were right there with me. So what's happening is you just want to say yes, that you're listening to a whole bunch of different angels, and that they're going to have you doing whatever needs to be tracking in that moment. And so what I would say, though, is if it creates consternation or like, oh, my God, why can't I do this, then what you want to do is you want to ask them to help you synchronize stuff, to help you bring it into some kind of fashion that works for you. And your rune of the present, you're going to love this, is double heart. And double heart is a little heart inside of a big heart. It's a water rune also of the angels. And this is about human love inside of the divine love, the angelic love. And so isn't it interesting that I would just say to you, there's the filaments of light, that there's the angelics all around as I'm doing this reading for you, and that you want to open up, and one of the things that's the counsel with this rune is you want to open up to receive that love. Let that flow in, and also ask for what it is that you want and need of the angels, because they love you so, and they want to be there and be of service to you, and also to help you in whatever way it is that you want help and support. And then out of this, really interestingly for you, is fire. And fire is an elemental rune of Great Spirit and the elementals. And fire is wildfire. Fire is the chi within us. No fire. So what's going to happen out of this is you're finally going to get your energy, your fire, your chi in balance with who you are in a frequency that's calibrated by the angels.
Wow.
So there's going to be a great process that happens and some very, very cool things for you out of this. So just say yes to the angels, open up your heart, let them, and you speak to them, and they'll help you align all this kind of confusion that you have, you know, that you're kind of a multitasker in the multi-dimensions.
Yes.
No. It's the angels are having, you know, you work, but they will listen if you say, hey, I'd like to kind of have this settle down some, and so that you can have your chi, your fire, your passion in this dimension working in a way that you feel good about.
Wow. Well, that's certainly been a great help to me. Now I understand it, because I'm going every which way.
Right. Right. No, the angels are
thank you so much.
Helping you out. So, yeah, ask them for help. We have reciprocity privileges with those guys.
Wow. You're great, Suzanne. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Lisa. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye.
Wow, this is really powerful stuff, Suzanne. We have Eliza or Elisa? Which is it? Eliza?
Hello?
Hello. Is this Eliza?
This is Alyssa.
Alyssa. Okay. Uh-huh. I wasn't sure how to pronounce your name. Well, you're on the air.
Hi.
Go ahead, Suzanne.
Hi, Alyssa. Y'all are so quiet, Ariel and Lavandar and Anastasia. Y'all are so quiet.
We're enthralled.
Okay, so let's see what we have for you, Alyssa. Okay, so as I'm picking your runes, what's really interesting is that you are you're more of a star being. You really operate in the air. So that you, like an image I get of you is that you're consciousness really floats around almost like you're like at the realm of the energy where the earth and the galactic, where those things meet, your spirit kind of moves and oscillates around there. It's like you have this really, big world vision, but it's like not like a big world vision like of what's going to happen on the earth, but just very, very, very expanded. And so your rune of self, symbol side down, is sun on the horizon. This is another fire rune, and only this time it's in the realm of human awareness. And so what this is about is it's you going and having the vision through your third eye that you see out into the distance, you see out into the horizon, but you can also see up into the galactic realms. And so this is symbol side down. And so what the counsel of this room for you is to go and say, okay, good, there is more to me than meets the eye here, and I want to expand into that. I want to breathe into that. I want to open up to receive that so that you can really expand into the channel of wisdom and light that you're connected with in the kind of outer realms of this universe or planet, however you want to say that. And so you just want to open up to receive that and then let that ground down here and not to be afraid of it. And so part of this for you is that, oh my God, it's so big, what do I do with it? Well, what will happen is that they will help you sift this in so you can talk to all of the galactic beings who are there for you, who are with you, different than the angelics that Lisa was working with. You're working with galactic beings. And you want to just let them help you sift this down so almost it can filter down into this dimension, filter down into your own consciousness, filter down into light that then like coalesces and crystallizes in your third eye, which is then a vision and a way that you can actually use it in this dimension so that it can finally come, I want to say, home for you. And then your rune of the present is moving through. This is a co-creative rune of the realm of the divas, and it is vertical. So when it's vertical, and this is something you know about, and so it's because it's symbol side up. And so what this is showing me is that what you're doing now is that you're working with, this is a transition rune, so you're working with your own spiritual understanding. It's you're going up, going down, going up, going down, and it's much like I was telling you, you know, when I just started this reading for you. So you want to just say, okay, I get it. I'm recalibrating myself. I'm on this journey, and I'm, you know, just needing to kind of align myself here, and it's good. I get what I'm going through. I know where I'm going to go wind up, and so it's all good. And then your outcome rune is moving lines, and this is an air rune, and it is of the realm of human awareness. So two runes for you of the realm of human awareness. And so this time what's going to happen is out of all of this information and insight that you get, as you're going through this process and you're taking this energy in, what's going to happen is moving lines means that you're going to actually be getting downloads on a regular basis, which you already do. Only as you go through this process now, what's going to happen is you're going to know how to use them in this dimension, that there's going to be this beautiful thread of light which is going to come out of your third eye from all the information that's downloaded through you, and you're just going to naturally be able to give that forth into whatever way needs to happen and just let that kind of resonate and reverberate out into the space around you. So your journey is really connecting with the galactic beings in a way that you can bring that light down here to where you have the vision in your third eye, and then the rest of this will be easy and fun.
Wow. Thank you. It made a lot of sense. Thanks.
I'm glad. Have fun with that.
I will.
Thanks for calling, Alyssa. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, so next we're going to be talking to Amy. As soon as your microphone opens up, there it goes. Okay,
hi.
Amy, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Amy. So so as I was pulling your runes, what was really interesting was the image that came up for me is like, you're this very graceful duck on a pond of water. And so you're just, I saw that like the water rippling out from you and you're just so gentle. So your rune of self and the present are symbol side down. So the rune of self for you is the flowering. And so this is about you grounding your own energy down here, working with the divas and helping things grow. And so this is about you becoming who you're supposed to be in this lifetime and actually you showing up for yourself. And so not to be timid, but to say, I am a spark of light. I'm a being of light that's here to bring a gift to this planet, to here to open up and to share everything of who I am and to make things grow and make things happen on the planet. So you just want to open up to that. And your beautiful, you know, duck water watery self is like, oh, my God, do I really have to do that? Because earth is grounding. Flowering is grounding. But it's about you actually putting roots down into the earth with water and then having things grow out of that. And then your rune of the present is colors of light. And this is that angelic rune, a fire rune of the realm of the angels. And, again, symbol side down. And so what this means is that you're working with the subtle body energies of the angels inside. You do a lot of work at night. You open up and let the channels of energy flow through. And what you're being asked to do now is actually not just keep it at night, but being asked to bring it in during the day. And so, again, this is symbol side down, so it's you stepping into that. You know, part of it is you saying, well, what do I have to offer? What do I have to give? How do I do this? And so as you claim the energy of the flowering and you know, to work with the divas and the angels to do this so that you actually can manifest all of who you are in this dimension. And then what's really interesting is that the outcome of this for you is the only symbol side up rune, and that's lightning. And so, again, co-creative in the realm of Great Spirit. And so what this is about, however, is that, and this is the fear for you, is that you're afraid that something bad is going to happen. Well, the truth is absolutely not. Is not only is something not bad going to happen, but as you recalibrate these energies, everything that you have thought bad or that's bad that's happened to you will be washed away. It'll all be blown away. It will be shifted like the breezes and the winds, and it'll be like a flash of lightning and boom, gone. But it's about you reclaiming your power so that you can own that shift and that shift will come. And it feels like that shift is going to come for you August, September, October of this year.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
I would say so.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Thanks, Amy.
Wow, that's just amazing. I mean, you tune right in and go right for it, and those runes are so powerful. I was getting chills just, you know, listening to some of the things you were saying. That's just amazing. And you said that you have this on the website that's called insightfulrunes.com.
Right. And so anybody can go, and, like, you know, all of your listeners, they can go, and, you know, even if we've done a reading tonight, they're free, and you can just go and you can ask whatever it is you want to ask. And obviously it's not going to have the nuances of, you know, me doing live readings, but lots of people have gotten lots of information and reassurance and, you know, whatever that they wanted for their lives. And, you know, sometimes I'll tell people, I said, do a series of three readings, and you know, then you compare them. Like, okay, this is the reading I got. Okay, let me process that. Then let me take it to the next place and then, you know, ask the next question so that they can really kind of go deeper inside of themselves and get the clarity that they need. And also, you know, just like I would say with the people I was reading tonight, is that if they had two of a certain rune, or, you know, whether it was a certain frequency or a certain element, then you need to be focusing on that frequency or that element because it's there to help you. And the same is true when people do that online, is that they can do that online as well.
And what interval of time would you recommend? You know, if you go online and you do this and you see a pattern, or say you do it three times, and then you see patterns of what you're being told, then you go work on that, and then sometime later you can see where what the new reading says. I mean, is there, obviously you have to kind of wait, don't you?
Right. So what I do is I tell people, you know, like some people have just gone crazy. They'll do 50 readings, and that's really kind of unproductive. And, you know, I recommend only doing three. You know, you can figure out whatever you want in three readings and know what you need. And then you don't come back until you've processed, you know, work with what the information was that you had, got stuck again, some other area. And they're actually set up so that they will respond to you relative to financial, health, spiritual, and relationships. And so you can just ask the question about whatever one of those areas, and I think the other one is other. And then the runes will answer you according to your question.
That's just so powerful. And, what I mean, it's so great that you've got it, online where people can do it, kind of in private and kind of interpret and read what it has and learn. And plus there's got to be a lot of just learning that happens when you explore these different realms and look at things from the different elements.
It's so true. And when I, I was never a big fan of the old runes because they were just too esoteric and too arcane for me. I just couldn't move into them. But by the same token, I was like, well, but who am I to bring in an oracle? I mean, really? And, I felt like that was a big responsibility and not really something that I wanted to say yes to because, when you're giving people information and insight, you want to make sure that what you give them is true. It's like, and the other thing was that I was never going to have any dark runes. There's no dark runes in this oracle. It's all light, like what we've been talking about. And so I really wanted something that people could do on their own, really simply. I'm not an artist. So when I do these runes, and if anybody's gone to the website, you'll see, they're very, very simple symbols. So anybody could do them. And the other thing that I tell people is that you can actually make your own oracle. I mean, you can go and just do a visualization. And there was a class that I taught, and I would actually help people bring in their own symbol sets. And so the other thing is that I feel like it's time for people to claim their own power, claim their own intuition, claim their own insight, and that to have their own oracles. And you can make one. And then, some people had like Pleiadian symbols, some people had Egyptian, some psychological. Really everybody's personalities came through, and I really felt like, what we're supposed to do is bring in the information, however it comes to us, and that each one of us has access to that. And, for me it was just creating ways and tools for people to be able to do that for themselves.
Right, because, it all comes from through the same mechanism. Lavendar has Native American cards that, give messages from the animals, from spiritual teachings, but the mechanism that makes it all work is the same thing.
Right.
Whether you're talking runes or those cards or I Ching or, it's got to be the same mechanism.
It's totally. And then it's just a matter that, it's just like the life purpose DNA. Everybody has their own kind of unique frequency. And so, that's why there's, probably 100 tarot decks now. And, they all kind of arise from the same place, as do the runes. And, scrying, whatever other method, it's just, tapping into spirit and then letting whatever it is that spirit has to say, want to say, come through, and just being, a clear and open channel for whatever that is, and feeling confident and comfortable to do that.
That's just wonderful. You've got a lot of websites and things that you offer for people, so let's just go on down that. We have your websites on the show page, but for people that are listening, maybe, in the car later, awaken to your purpose.com, insightfulrunes, runes.com, and was it your next step coach.com?
The first one is actually awaken to your life purpose. And that website I have, it's specifically for helping people find their purpose in life. And I've set that up so that people, my workbook is there. I wrote the workbook that has the 5 steps and those universal life purpose elements. And what I tell people is just do 25 exercises. You can do it in an afternoon. And what'll happen is you'll start to see a pattern. You'll start to see, oh, my God, I keep saying this. Oh, my God, well, my purpose has to be that because that's what keeps showing up. And so what happens is when people do it in that way, they actually have a sense of confidence for themselves because they've done it. It's not like somebody told them what their purpose is. They could feel it. They could kind of do a reality check and validate it with their own experience. And so Awaken to Your Life Purpose has, there are three different programs. So there's my workbook, there's the online course, and then I do a personal, just, you know, kind of helping people figure out their life purpose. I do a professional, which is I help them find their purpose and then how they're going to use that to have a, like an ideal job that's a right livelihood kind of a job that's completely in alignment with their purpose. And then I also do a spiritual course, which is 6 months. And that 6 months, I actually take people into the more spiritual side of all this and help them wake up to their, you know, spiritual and dimensional selves. And then Insightful Runes is just for the oracle. And the other thing is that if you didn't get a reading tonight and you want to get a mini reading, I'd also do little expanded readings for people who request them, who have done a reading on insightfulrunes.com. So for those of you listening, if you want to do that, you can certainly do that and then send me an email. And one of your listeners actually did that yesterday, and it was really cute. She sent me an email yesterday. She said, I want an expanded reading. And so those are free, and so I'm happy to do that. I love doing that for people. And then my Your Next Step Coach website is really talks about my perception of spirituality and the multidimensional nature of ourselves and helping people really tap into their 3, 4, and 5D selves and beingness and how to sort themselves out, you know, being 5D, knowing 4D, and 3D doing. So those can all line up and, you know, work properly for people. And that website's really kind of a repository of who I am. And then also people can find me on Blog Talk Radio. The website there is Blog Talk Radio. Living Well Talk Radio is the show. And if you've liked what we've done tonight with you guys on Starseed, every Wednesday we do readings. I have a girlfriend of mine. She does a personal tarot, and then I do a rune reading, just kind of like what we've done today. And then, of course, streamingforthesoul.tv, which is where the television show airs. And that's more mainstream, but the thing that's interesting about the television show was the morning that I woke up to do it, I was vibrating. My whole body was vibrating, and I said, oh, my God, what is this energy about? And that night, the night before, I'd had this, like, pain in my crown chakra. And I never have pain, never anywhere in my body. So to have pain was a weird sensation, let alone in my crown chakra. And I said, you know what, you got to go. I'm doing a show tomorrow. I can't be distracted like this. But when I woke up in the morning, what happened was it had moved, the energy had moved, and what they had wanted to do was to infuse me with a whole new frequency of energy, of light, and it was a golden ray, golden platinum ray, actually. And so I'm vibrating. I'm sitting there. I was like, okay, what do you want me to do with this? And they said, we've given you the frequency of light for your show, and your job is just to be in this frequency, and you're going to just do your show, and what's going to happen is that people's defenses are going to just melt away so that they can receive. And I said, oh, my God, how wonderful is that? And so the content on Stream for the Soul is about inspiration. It's more mainstream, but it's still from the same place of inspiration that, you know, everything else that I do is.
Wow. So you said that you never experienced pain, and is there a lesson or a trick or something that you've learned to accomplish that?
Well, what I would say is that I've just been fortunate. I mean, I've had my share of physical things that have happened to me. I've broken bones and broken back and all that kind of business, but you'd never know. I think it's just being mindful. After I broke my back, one of my doctors said to me, I said, well, so what are my limitations? He said, if it hurts, don't do it. And so that's kind of my rule of thumb. If it hurts, don't do it. And that's, you know, really what I tell people is if it hurts, don't do it. Something's not right for you. And, you know, as we started talking earlier at the beginning of the show, you know, just me going through my Saturn return, if it hurts, don't do it. You know, it's kind of like back up. And, you know, Lavendar had a great way she kind of reframed that for me. But so I think the other thing about pain right now, and this is really something I want to say to all your listeners, is that those of us who have made the 5D transition and are more operating an embodied 5D now, what's happening is people along the way are feeling stuck. They're getting stuck. And so what happens is there's new pains that are like phantom pain. So you go to the doctor, you have a pain, and wherever it is you have the pain. and they you go into whatever testing and there's nothing wrong with you, but you're feeling a pain. And so what that pain is it's telling you and showing you that you got some, the new frequencies, the 5D frequencies have somehow gotten stuck. And so what I tell people, and when I work with people doing, you know, healing work, is to that we need to move that energy out. It just got stuck. It didn't get in your body quite right. It needs to be balanced. It needs to be moved through. And so sometimes for people, if you have a pain in your body, it's not really a symptom. It's just that 5D energy got stuck and now needs to be moved and moved around in a way that, you know, people can, you know, embody the 5D frequencies.
Wow. Well, that makes a lot of sense, because I know that it's a very common thing that Starseed, you know, in our work that we have heard, is that there's just a lot of weird physical things and you know, doctors, you know, there's nothing wrong with you, and but it persists, and that's just, it makes so much sense what you're saying. And do you actually, I mean, on one of your websites, do you do have some resources that will help people to tell the difference? Because obviously sometimes if you do have a pain, you do need to go to the doctor. There could be something that you need to take care of, but
right,
when the doctor says there's nothing wrong with you, then are there resources on one of your sites that can help people like that?
Wow. You know, that's a great question, and I wish that there was. The truth is, I don't really know of any resources like that, and I think that's why I actually felt like saying something about that tonight, because as we're moving into these dimensional energies, and I've been getting a lot of really interesting downloads lately, and, you know, back and forth, it's like I feel like a ping pong ball between the dimensions. And I have friends that are, you know, Reiki masters and everything else, and they'll wind up with heart palpitations. Or another common one is headaches, big headaches, or a sort of a fluttery, jittery sensation in your body. And so what I do with people is I help them just sort of ground in their body and let the energy flow. And so I guess what I would say is being like a conduit, and then asking the divine to work with you at night. I like a lot of this work done at night. And so if I'm not directly working with someone, what I tell them to do is to work at night and ask the divine, you know, your guides, the archangels, whoever it is that you work with, the galactic beings, you know, you got a little bit of a problem here, and you need them to come and help you sort the energy back out. And then to let them help you do that in your sleep, which is much easier than us trying to do it during the day while we're awake.
Right, because and having your left brain trying to figure out what's causing this.
Right.
And I'm not, without naming any names here, we have a wonderful healer, energy worker, and sometimes lately she's been getting rashes just spring up and then they go away.
Right.
And, you know, is there something that you might suggest?
Yeah. So as you're just talking about that, what's happening is that sometimes we get what I want to say is flushes of energy. And when those flush or rush of energy goes, what happens is our systems aren't calibrated like that yet. And so when those come, they just kind of, you know, they just woof, they just make us flush or flash, whatever you want to say, and it does create a rash. And so what I just say is just to, it just means that the system is overamped, and you need to just let that energy drain out and flow through. And so, and that'll take care of it.
Well, that's great. I'm sure she'll appreciate that. So, wow, this has just been a wonderful, wonderful sharing that you have done with our audience, and thank you so much for your generosity in helping people, not only on this show, but on your show and all over the work that you do. You really are the Renaissance woman, aren't you?
I kind of like it, you know, like that. And so, you know, thanks for that compliment. And the other thing I want to say is, and this happened earlier in the show, and I don't remember who it was, so I can't even reference them again, but someone was talking about doing all those different things. And one of the things that's really interesting about star seeds, and for that matter, you know, normal people, is that there's two kinds of people, and there's two sorts of channels, and one is a very, very focused channel. and they're here for one purpose and one purpose only, and they know what it is, and they're on a mission. God bless them. I am not one of those. And then there's people like me and like whoever that caller was. And for the rest of us, we're kind of what I call rainbow people. And rainbow people are tuned into a lot of different frequencies, bringing in a lot of different kinds of energies. Lots of stuff is always moving through us. And we think somehow that we're supposed to be like those the other kind of people who've got one channel and one focus. And the truth is, and what I've just realized in this last while, and actually starting with my television show, is that those of us who have this big beam of focus where it's like literally a rainbow, the reason for that is because we need to be working in a lot of different frequencies. And so what happens is that we can then hold the space for so much more than a single bandwidth. Neither one of them is better than the other. But for those of you listening, just know that if you are, you know, sometimes people would call us unfocused, you know, and sometimes more derogatory terms, but the truth is you're just holding a lot more energy and different beams. And so now as a television show host, one of the things that's fascinating is there's no territory that a guest of mine can go that I have not gone myself. And so for all of you listening, when you finally do bring it all together, it's like you get to own a huge amount of space, and it's an amazing thing. And so, you know, just to be open to whatever it is, you know, if you have 30 archangels and angels working with you, you know, great. You know, it's because you have the capacity to do that, and just to, you know, just really to be open to whatever your truth is and whatever your experience is.
And you just really said a mouthful, because the archangels, the galactic beings, all of the other upper dimensional beings would not ask more of you than you know that than they know that you can handle, right?
That's true. And not only that, you can also, I have a very irreverent relationship with the multidimensional beings. You can also tell them to back up and stop. You don't want to play. You're not going to work 24/7, you know, 12 in this dimension, 12 in that dimension. You can tell them to stop. You can tell them you need a sabbatical. You can tell them whatever you need to tell them. And what I tell my clients is that this is a co-creative deal. We're not here alone. You know, we are not here as their servants. We are here in partnership and co-creative to co-create whatever we're going to bring in here. And so they need to make that work for us and to have some kind of balance for us and to help us bring that balance. And, you know, it gets back to, again, that, you know, when the energy gets too much and the downloads get too much and, you know, we kind of go, what the hell? And, you know, now what? And so, you know, a lot of my work that I do with clients is actually to, when I'm coaching, is to help them get that balance back in place, because we are entitled to say no or have things work for us, and we're not, you know, we don't have to do it any certain kind of way.
Well, that's really a good point, because I imagine that from the fifth dimension or the angelic realms, they're not quite as affected by the demands of the third dimension that, you know, it's like you work all night long and then you have to go and, you know, get the groceries and
right.
do the, you know, kind of normal third dimensional things. And I have told people the same thing, is that you can just say, I need a break.
Right.
And remember that you're in charge.
That's right. That's absolutely right. And, you know, the other thing is that as this, the dimensions get really are thinner and thinner and thinner, there are times when I'm in my 3D self and I'm not even here. I am, like, oscillating. My sight goes. My whole sense of self goes. And I kind of have to say, okay, now, wait a minute. Am I in a position where I can do that? Like, not a good thing to do when I'm driving.
Right.
You know, so, or not a good thing necessarily to do when you're cooking, because literally your 3D mind just goes away. You like, forget that you put something on the stove. And so, you know, the other part of this balance is to, for us to be able to have a harmony that allows for us to really integrate those new frequencies as multidimensional beings in this dimension. But, you know, we're kind of still doing the dance of getting that fit right and then blended together in a way that we can actually live with.
Right. Right. And Lavendar, how's that strike you?
You know, it strikes me just fine, and it makes me think of the times that how many ETs I've fired in my lifetime.
There you
fired
go.
Them. I said, you're out now. I can't handle this anymore. Bye.
Yep.
And a lot of people said, how can you talk to them that way? I said, yes, but I can, because we're co-creating, and they push me too far, and they know it, so, you know, they're fired. That's it.
That's right.
That's a galactic Trump. Well, yeah, I mean, the third dimension is really tricky, especially when you got one foot on the ground and one foot up in the air. Sometimes you can fall over. So balance.
You know, sometimes, you know, I'll say to them, remember when you were down here and I was up there? So, you know, get a grip. That's how I talk to them. And you know what? They have a respect for that kind of dialogue, believe it or not. They do.
They do. They do. And, you know, this is kind of an interesting story to take that to the next level. So they wanted me – so they came and recruited me to actually teach on the other side. So imagine that you're a human being with galactic DNA that they have recruited now to go be up in the angelic realms and to teach the angels things. So they recruited me for this assignment, and I was watching all these angels, and they're looking at me. It's almost like in a doctor's kind of, you know, in the round, and they're all on those railings, and they all have their notebooks. And I actually know that I'm in the other dimensions and I'm teaching. And so I was all good with that until one day I told them I wasn't coming to class today. I wasn't going to teach them. And then the next thing I knew, I had this beloved little dog, and he had crossed to the other side already. But what they did was that they went and they roughed him up, and they brought him to me like that. And then he was all roughed up. Now they got me pissed off, and they got me fired up. And so then I went up, and I fixed him up, and that was what the lesson was that they wanted to see, like how we used our emotions, how we could manifest things, how we could work with energy, how we could shift and change things. Well, they got to see that in spades because I put him back together, and then I ripped them from one side to the other, and they've never thought about doing something like that again, ever, because it's not cool. It's just not right. I mean, we would never think to have them to do that to them, and so they need to be respectful with us 3D beings, you know, or masquerading around as 3D beings down here in the same way that we have respect for them. So I'm with you, Lavendar.
Well, you know, the third dimension operates on emotion, and it's an entirely different emotional frequency than their emotions. And there could be a little communication gap there when you can't really walk a mile in their shoes or vice versa. So, and it is okay to have your boundaries.
It's absolutely okay.
It's important, yeah. I mean, it's almost like vital that you have your boundaries no matter who you're dealing with.
Right, right. Well, you know, and I think now what we're, one of the things that I'm really excited about this particular time and dimension and being down here is that I know that we're here to bring heaven on earth. I know that we're manifesting that pattern and that we're manifesting our God selves down here so that we can be co-creative. And we're actually like doing that from the inside out, like we get the downloads. And then, you know, once we get the frequencies fixed up and we can resonate there, and then the next set of energy happens. And so I'm really inspired about the possibility of, oh, my God, imagine when we're a bunch of co-creating gods down here on this planet, and then what this place will really look like, and then what it'll feel like, and then what we'll be manifesting. And then imagine that we're this big transmission out into the galactic God only knows where, and that what that frequency will be like. I mean, thank God we don't have that power now with, you know, where we're, the status of things down here. But, you know, imagine when it all gets changed around and it's the right way, what this can really be like.
You like Atlantis in its prime.
Yeah.
Don't you think, Lavendar?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
I love the way you describe everything, and the way you use your words to give us pictures of possibilities. I love that about you.
Thanks, Lavendar. Well, it's nice to be amongst kindred spirits, you know, and just to be sharing that multidimensional perspective and reality that we embody. And, you know, I mean, I look forward every day to more of my kindred brothers and sisters down here and as frequencies opening up and, you know, Yahoo and, you know, however I can help with that process. I think that's one of my most favorite things to do is help people open up to those frequencies, because once they're launched, they're here to stay. And that's a powerful thing.
And it's very inspiring and motivating, you know, because it's like wildfire. Once it starts to spread, then it can't be contained or stopped, and that's what will change and really bring us fully into the fifth dimensional age of Aquarius.
Yeah. And you know, it's really interesting. You know, I've been there's another great website that I want to give all your listeners, and it's not something associated with me, but I'm associating myself with it. And that is an amazing musician, and his name is Marco Misonato. And you can go to marcomisonato.com, and he's also creating a concert in Sedona for May 3rd for the 144,000 Open Heart Concert Series. And it's the concert's about unfolding secrets, and it's about the frequencies of light and how they move into our bodies and how through those frequencies of light and music we actually can drop away all that old energy, the old stuck, you know, junk that we have, and really open up. And, you know, for years I've been wondering about, there was a great book written called Cultural Creatives, How 50 Million People Changed the World. And I've always said, well, where the hell are those 50 million people? Because, you know, the world hasn't changed. That vision hasn't come. And what I realized, and this is another reason why I'm doing my television show and getting involved with Marco, is that it's time that we become global ambassadors for the community of light, that we bring the points of light, the human beings together of light. So that imagine I'm in Oklahoma, and I can go on a website and a portal that, you know, I know anybody that I call anywhere on the planet is going to have a vibrational alignment with me. And I can say, hey, Lavandar, what are you doing? I'm your star sister from California. I'm going to be in your neighborhood. I'd love to sit down and have coffee or tea or connect. And then two star seeds get together. And so my next mission is really, you know, connecting that. And when I started looking at the picture that Marco had, which was 144,000 points of light around the planet, and plugging that light in and really feeling the light around the planet wasn't enough. And so, you know, I get the concept of 144,000, so I said, well, 144,000, how at 1.4 million? And it got a little brighter, but again, not enough to do the job. And then all of a sudden I said, well, how about 144 million? And then all of a sudden the planet lit up, and the planet had a field of golden light around it, and it started to vibrate like a heart. I'm like, oh, my God, it's arrived. We can do this. And then I thought back about Live Aid and Farm Aid and all those, you know, different concerts way back when. Now imagine a concert of light where we've plugged in 144 million people like a Live Aid or Farm Aid, and that's going to start happening this year. So I'm really excited because I think that we're finally getting to the place where we're going to see the light that we've all wanted on the planet.
And it's coming quickly.
Yep.
It's a beautiful thing to watch, and I'm so glad that we're here now during these times, and so happy that you were able to come and do the show with us tonight. It's really been a pleasure having you here. And before I wrap up, Lavandar, do you have any other comments?
Well, I'm just very grateful that we know you, Suzanne, and that we want to stay in touch with you. We definitely count us in for being part of your partnership. Whatever you do globally, we're there with you. 100%.
Oh my God, I love that, and I welcome that partnership. And you know, because we're all in this together, and we're gonna have fun getting ourselves back out of it too. That's the good news. We're gonna be celebrating, you know, the vibratory frequencies of light. So I'll definitely keep you posted, and then you guys can keep your listeners posted.
And I want you to make Saturn your friend.
Thanks. Hold that space for me, Lavandar. This has been tough.
I will.
But just think of Saturn as a big old plate of vegetables. You might not be as delicious as chocolate cake, but they will serve you better in the long run. That's how I think of Saturn.
Well, and you know what's funny is that it's definitely the planet of sorting, and it's really sorted all the way back to the light. So even if I don't like this right now, it's actually bringing me back to the golden light and at that frequency. And so I am grateful, but it's just, it's not been like my most, it's like going to the dentist and having a cavity filled.
Yeah. Think of it like a staff, throwing the staff down in the earth and letting the staff go to the 144 million people on the planet and just take that staff and hit the earth with it and say, this is my Saturn and this is my commitment, and just change it.
Oh, good. I will.
Yeah.
I will. I love that.
Yeah.
I can see you doing it already.
Yeah, and we want you to come back and be on the show later, too, so hold some space for us.
I definitely will, absolutely. Just
okay,
let me know.
Thank
and
back
you know,
to you,
thank
Ariel.
You.
Okay, well, once again, your what would you say your main website contact is?
YourNextStepCoach.com.
Okay, because you have so many. I know that we keep people are going to be confused, so we'll just keep it simple. From there, they can find links to your other sites as well.
Exactly, exactly.
Okay, YourNextStepCoach.com.
Yeah.
Well, Suzanne, it has just been a joy having you on the show, and we want to thank you so much. And we'll look forward to having you back on in the near future.
Well, thanks, and I'm looking forward to having you Starseeds on my television show with me.
We'll be there. We'll be there.
Okay.
And I want to thank all of the listeners, and thank you so much to Fiona and Vanya and Claudia, the birthday girl, for hosting the switchboard for us this evening. And we'll be back next week. Have a wonderful weekend. Athena's birthday is Thursday. Okay. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Starseed Radio Academy. Visit our website at www.starseedhotline.com.